Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of All or Nothing. Heather will be leaving you a video message tomorrow, just in regards to what she's been up to, but not to worry, she'll be in touch, fill you in on some things. Today, we're going to talk about being a virtuous woman, what that means, and the temptations we face as women and trying to live a holy life, and just some ideas on how to combat some of those lies that we believe in, some of the insecurities that we have as women. Men are totally welcome to listen to this too. I'm sure you can relate to some of it, but I just thought this would be a really good topic, and I prepared for it a couple weeks ago, so I want to share some of that with you today. First of all, I'm recording this the day after Divine Mercy, which was yesterday, and I'm actually going to upload it today as well. Thank you to all who joined in the novena prayer. It was really nice to see your comments and to have someone to pray with. It was a very, very special day. I hope many of you were able to received the gift of full plenary indulgence. It was a beautiful gift. I never realized that this was a part of Divine Mercy and something I will do every year to erase the punishment of all that I've accumulated since my baptism. So I'm very grateful to God. I am so grateful. So let's dive in today. I want to talk to you, first of all, about what is virtue and being virtuous. And I wrote it down. So being virtuous is embodying core Christian values and living a life that reflects God's love and grace. We know the three cardinal virtues, faith, hope, and love. But there's more than that: faith, love, hope, integrity, humility, patience, compassion, holiness. Those are what we're called to live. Those are the ideals. And do we always make it? I'm going to speak for myself and tell you no, I do not. It's a real, real struggle, but the Lord invites us and He loves us along the way. There's certain virtues that we probably struggle with the most, and those are the ones where the Lord, He wants us to bring it to Him, and He wants our wholeness and our holiness. So, for example, I don't mind sharing with you, one that I struggle with is patience. It's something that I've always struggled with, just being patient. There's certain things I can be patient with, other things I'm just like, no, oh my gosh, this car is going slow in front of me. I'm going to lose my mind. I'm one of those people that I want to honk the horn and just get to where I'm going. I don't have patience, you know? Or yeah, there's just different things. And honestly, the hard part is we struggle with our virtue more in our own family and our marriages and the people that we are closest to. So oftentimes my impatience would probably come onto my husband or my family. But anyway, but there's other things that I think if I look at all the different virtues, of course, I haven't arrived at any of them. I just wanted to talk to you about that. And maybe you can think about where your struggles are and some ideas that hopefully this podcast will help you with to try to overcome and start working on some of those things that we struggle with so that we can live a very virtuous, holy life. And then with that, we'll be able to change the world. It sounds like a little airy-fairy, but I really do believe that if we are called and if we are meant to be who we're made to be, is what I'm trying to say, is that we will set the world on fire, which is what Saint Catherine of Siena said. We owe it to God to continue to work on ourselves and humble ourselves, to look at our faults so that we can become whole, so we can be a light to others and bring others to Christ. And He wants that for us too, as an individual, not just to bring others, but He wants our freedom. It's not good when we struggle with these vices, you know? I first of all just want to share about a few people that live very virtuous lives when I look throughout the Bible and through the church. And of course, the Blessed Mother, our Holy Mother, she had faith, obedience, humility, and trusted God with her entire life. Now, she was made perfect. We know she was, well, it's a little easier for her, but she's still human. And I often wonder, like, what she could struggle with, but her struggles would never lead to sin. But what an example. And I think with the rosary and asking to be like her and her praying for us in our weaknesses and the things that we struggle with is such a gift to us as women, to ask for her prayers, to give us her heart and to love like she loves and to be like her. Who doesn't want to emulate the Blessed Mother? Well, I'll never arrive, but at least that's the goal. It's like when the Lord says, be perfect like my heavenly Father is perfect. We'll never be perfect. We can't with our fallen nature. But that the goal is to try to be as holy as we can in this life. So I looked at the Holy Mother. I also looked at Hannah in the Bible, a woman of great faith and patience praying for a son, and later dedicated him to God's service. You know, just the faithfulness in her suffering. And those of you who have struggled with infertility or haven't been able to have children, it's a cross. And you know, I'll share some of my journey at some point. Just getting married older, I wasn't able to have children. And to see her dedication of trusting the Lord and then offering him. How hard would that be? And so similar to the Blessed Mother, she has this child, but knowing the whole time that she would have to give him up for us. And Hannah to give her son, Samuel, to God right away. It's incredible. So despite her hurt and her pain, she remained faithful. And I think that's an example to all of us. Esther, a courageous woman who stood up for her people and used her influence for good. So when I look at women and some of the temptations that we face, we can use our beauty, power, all those things to manipulate, to hold over people, especially men. And then you have Esther, who is the complete opposite. And she used her beauty, her strength for good and not to lord it over anyone for power. And I thought, what an awesome example of a woman of faith. Obviously, we have so many of the saints that live such virtuous lives, and some who've really struggled and then became saints, like Saint Mary Magdalene. We know her life was a real life of sin, for example, and to see what God did with her by surrendering and being open, it's incredible. And she's such an example to women now. So wherever you are, some of you may have had really struggle in this area, or lived maybe a more of a wild life, but all the saints we can relate to some of them in some way, some more than others. We all have our patrons, our favorites that we connect to. Of course, the podcast is named after Sister Claire Crockett's documentary, All or Nothing. And I've been listening to her audiobook and I'm just enamored by her. And I really have a love for her and how much she was so worldly. And not that I lived a very radical, crazy life, but I always had one foot in the world, one foot in the church, and trying to balance that. And eventually the Lord was like, you need to choose. I knew it was hard. I wanted to try to live both ways, like where I could still live somewhat of a sinful life, but not too bad, but then still love God. But he wanted all my heart. And I look at Sister Claire and just what a wild woman she was, and just so funny. She's someone I'd absolutely want to hang out with. And then it was interesting as her book went on, is going on. There's so much in the documentary. If you haven't seen it yet, please watch All or Nothing and do yourself a favor. She's my new favorite heavenly friend. Don't tell Saint Therese or the rest of them, but she is. She drank and she was an actress and the class clown. She always wanted to be the center of attention. And so interestingly, the Lord worked on her. They said, as soon as she would kind of come into a room, it's like, Sister Claire's here. She wanted that attention. But every year that she was in the convent, she wanted to be more and more unseen. But that she felt that Our Lady was asking her specifically to use her joy and her silliness and goofiness because it was a gift. That's the only reason why she did it, is because she's, I don't want to do this for my own selfish to be recognized. And so the humility that really grew in her. And again, she was really young. She was 18 when she entered the order. So it took time. So don't be discouraged. I can often get really discouraged when I look at my weaknesses, or I'm working on something and I think I'm coming along, and then a situation comes and then you're faced with it, you fall again, you're like, ah. And it's not a bad thing, because it's pride to think that we've ever arrived anyway. But it's hard, but just to keep going and to realize, like, Sister Claire died at 33, the age of the Lord, and that's when she wanted to die. Very interesting. But she was 18. And they even said, some of the sisters that lived with her said she wasn't a saintly woman necessarily when she first came in, but as the Lord took his time with her, she radically changed. So don't be discouraged again if you're working on yourself and you feel like you're a failure. Satan, of course, is going to get in there and lie to you and try to discourage. I know that it's been a very much of a spiritual battle for me during Lent, especially the last part of Lent. I just really lost my confidence. I started to question my gifts, and maybe God doesn't want me to do anything anymore. Maybe I should just not do the social media thing. And I was really under a lot of attack and really, really discouraged. And I started cooperating with the voice of Satan, being like, yeah, he'd whisper something in my ear. And I'm like, yeah, absolutely, you're right. And I realized I'm making agreements with Satan. Whoa. So it was catching that and then being like, no, Lord, you tell me, what do you want me to do? Who am I in you? Not who just am I and trying to do things on my own strength, but what do you want from me? And I just felt really clearly, for example, that he wants me to continue to evangelize. I don't know how and what that's going to all look like, but today it's this. Tomorrow it might be something else. I don't know. It's going to take time, and that even when you're attacked and get discouraged, just try to catch it as quickly as you can and surrender it to the Lord. Catch it and then tell yourself what is truth. So it's, I feel really discouraged, but like, no, Lord, like, I am beautifully and wonderfully made. You have plans for my life. Even if I don't believe it, saying it out loud and claiming truth is just so important for all of us, especially as women. There's such an attack on women. And I mean, if you look back to the garden, you look at Eve, it's right at the beginning. Satan went after her. And in the end, we know the end of the story is the Blessed Mother is going to crush his head with the weakest part of her body, her heel. So he hates women. And that's why there's such an attack on us. And where I believe, like, this radical feminism has come to be, there's nothing wrong with women having high positions. Actually, today is the feast day of Saint Gianna Beretta Mola, April 28th, who was a medical doctor, a wife, and had four children. And so the Lord can call us women to different things. It doesn't mean that every woman is home necessarily, but it's just figuring out your vocation. We're to be holy, but the attack is great and we need to be prepared for it spiritually. I want to talk about that. And what are some of the things that we struggle with as women? So I wrote some stuff down that I see that I've personally experienced myself at certain times in my life, still struggle with some of them now. Also, having friends and friendships and other women share with me over the years. I would say, if we're really being honest, majority of women struggle with the following. It would be our body image, hating ourselves, either obsessing with our bodies to be fit and beautiful, and we should actually be taking care of our bodies and exercising. That's important to have balance. God wants us. This is a temple of the Holy Spirit. But when it becomes a God and an obsession, then things are a bit out of order there, and we have to reorder that. Or we can let ourselves go the other way, where we're not taking care of ourselves at all. But then we start to compare ourselves to other women. That is probably one of the biggest things that is so difficult and so hurtful to ourselves. They say that looking at a magazine, for example, within the first 30 seconds, our self-esteem drops as women. And I believe that. And so the same thing when you look at beauty, especially if you're, oh, we get jealous. We can get jealous of someone's beauty. And we have to really take a serious look at what's going on in the heart. Sometimes there is a wound there. It's not always that every woman, we're malicious people if we have feelings of jealousy. So jealousy in certain capacities can be normal. That's a different thing that I'm talking about. But the jealousy is wanting what someone else has, whether that's their looks or jealous of their vehicles or whatever it is. I find when I have feelings of jealousy, I have to look within myself to say, where have I been hurt here? Or what is it? Or what is it I'm feeling insecure about that I feel threatened or insecure around someone here? And it's usually something where there's a previous wound, or I'm struggling with something. And so it's really important to acknowledge yourself and catch yourself in that, because that's not a holy trait. It makes women look really ugly when you're jealous, for example. It makes me ugly. I don't want that. I want total freedom. And one remedy for that would be to pray for the person that you're jealous of. Literally put their sticker, like a little sticky note beside your bed, and pray and ask to bless them, especially if they are making it difficult for you. Maybe they're not treating you well, but just forgiving them, but also praying for them and letting go and asking the Lord to heal. What is it in you that is causing that? If there's a wound there to heal. And really learning to love ourselves. And maybe that means getting healthy as well and not being jealous of the way someone looks, because they might work really hard at trying to be healthy. And are we really putting in the work to have that same thing? But catching yourself and thanking God for the way that He's made you and made me, to be like, thank you, Lord. I don't love everything about my body, but I know that body's from you. And especially women who've had children, they struggle a lot with stretch marks. And you have given your body for your children. And I know it's so hard. And it's trying to love yourself. And what a gift that you have given to the world by bearing life. And there's such an attack of Satan on that, to attack you beautiful women who had bared children, to hate your bodies. This beautiful body that has given life and nurtured life in their womb. It's so awful that we can turn and hate ourselves. Ask the Lord to heal that and to help you to love those stretch marks as much as you may not, and to just try to learn to love yourself in it and pray for healing for that. It is hard. I mean, no one's going to say it's your feelings are valid. When I have gained weight at different points in my life, I know I'm out of order. And I really, it's a terrible feeling. And there's been at different points where I've really struggled with my body image. And I haven't had the strength or to always follow through on the exercise plans. And I didn't have the grace, and trying to love myself and people saying, oh, don't feel that way. You look great. It needs to come from within myself, from the Lord healing that I believe that, and that I can believe that and then be a blessing to others. I think women, yeah, so we struggle with insecurity. And the thing is, sometimes we compare ourselves to people and we might think, oh, they have it all together. They're beautiful. They have this beautiful family. They have this. And yet, They're probably comparing themselves to somebody else because we don't know what they're going through, and their life may be really hard. And so we're comparing ourselves to someone who's actually really struggling, and maybe their life isn't as great as we think. Not that we want that, but you just nobody knows. So sometimes we always want what we don't have, but let's try to pray that we can appreciate the things that we have and who God made us to be in our bodies, for example, and not compare ourselves to other women in other situations because we don't know. Gossip is a real big one. I used to work in group homes with females, and then I worked in a male's home. The age is about 8 to 15. And I can say, girls, oh my goodness, the grudges, the jealousy, the vengefulness in general, I'm speaking in general terms, girls don't forget. And they're revengeful and they're passive aggressive and they try to be nice to your face, but they're seething with anger behind it. Whereas guys at the group home I would work at, they'd have a fight, they'd sort of punch it out, and they're like, hey, you want to go play trucks? And I was like, wow. But girls, no, there is a vindictiveness that girls can have in general. Not every woman's like this. Of course, I'm speaking very generally, but I see it. So we also have to be really careful with our tongue. There's so many scriptures in the Bible about the tongue and how it's used to bless or to curse. Everything that we say is either blessing or cursing. And it's so powerful. As you know, all of you right now, if I was to ask you, if we were in person, something hurtful that you've never forgot that someone said to you, you could probably bring it up like that. Something a parent said one time in anger, or a teacher, I had a teacher say something to me. It can create such crevices in our hearts that may never fully be healed. And I'm a teacher, so I always would tell my students, and I still tell them when I substitute teach, which is what I'm doing this year, is be so careful, because what you might joke around about someone's looks today, you might say, oh, you have big ears, or you have whatever. For you, you forgot about, you didn't really mean it. That person goes home and the rest of their life, they're looking in the mirror, checking their ears and thinking, I'm ugly. And you didn't even mean that. But like, we set people on a course of belief with the ways that we speak. And you know that because of the way people have spoken to you. So we have to pray that, and I still have to pray because when I'm frustrated or upset, I have to be so careful and pray about what am I saying out loud. If I'm arguing with my husband, I have to be careful. What am I going to say with my words? And is this going to be cutting? And if so, and we've all done it, that's where we have to ask forgiveness of the person and then also possibly go to confession. And sometimes it's not always necessarily mortal sin. But I find the grace of confession, when you bring those same sins and you're wanting to work on a virtue, it really does give you the grace and the strength to be get stronger in that area. So going to confession more, it's not like you're just being scrupulous, although you have to be careful with that. But there's times where if you're really struggling in one area, when you go to confession, just keep bringing that. You could be getting stronger, but when you fall, just say it so that you get more grace to get stronger with that virtue. I have aging here. I know for me, as I get older, there's a filter on this Zoom call, like full disclosure. But I've been struggling as I get older as a woman. I see magazines, I see beautiful people, and I tend to start to compare myself and just feeling self-conscious about like my skin, aging skin, getting older, and that struggle of vanity. But also, I think it's normal, but it can become sinful. But this is a cross, and I have to surrender that to the Lord. And I think that's important. But we also have to be really careful, also, too. I have with gossip, there is a fine line. I've talked to a priest about, you can have a confidant. It's okay to share. If you're upset about something, it's okay to have a couple of confidants that you share. The goal is not to bash and just, but it's, this has happened, this has hurt me. You go to someone who has godly advice, not just to vent, although sometimes, yes, we need to, but it shouldn't be malicious. It should try to be a holy vent where you can share what happened and be honest about your feelings, but try not to sin with it, knowing that we're going to someone who could give really good advice. That could even be a priest or a spiritual director. It could be just a really trusted friend that you know that lives their faith and wants to call you to goodness. But that can be really tough as women because sometimes we process generally by talking. Most women do that way, where we share our feelings. You have to be careful who you share and how often you share because it can keep ruminating and you can continue to feed it if you keep talking about it over and over with a bunch of different people. You want to be careful of people's names and images. It's important, you know, that we honor people and that the Lord sees it all. He sees the heart. And if there's something being done wrong by someone to you, to trust that the justice and the truth will come out. And that's a tough thing to do. And I don't just mean smiting somebody, even though you might want to, but just that Trusting, don't take that upon yourself to try to slander somebody or even share what's true to destroy somebody's name. You're allowed to speak the truth, and you may have to actually speak the truth sometime about something that happened. You might need to do that more publicly, but I think that you have to pray about what's holy. Is this gossip? Am I just wanting to vent here? Or what's the motive? I think it depends on the motive of your heart. Because I've really noticed that I've met very beautiful people, men and women, who I thought were just so attractive. And then I saw the way that they treat other people or speak about other people, and it makes them ugly. It makes me ugly if I'm not living the way that God wants me to live towards other people. It's ugly. So no matter what beauty people can have on the outside, if the heart is ugly, you're ugly. I don't know how to say it. I'm ugly, right? It is. It is what it is. We need to really become beautiful on the outside, inside, and you will shine on the outside because people will see Christ. And you can take a very average male or female, for example, who maybe the world wouldn't necessarily define as beautiful, and they shine and they're way more beautiful because of their hearts. It does. It makes people beautiful. So if you're just caring for the outside of the body and not working on the inside, yeah, it's not good. And you won't shine. And that's not attractive at all. Not that we're trying to be noticed, but you want people to notice Christ in you. That's the main thing, is give reason for your joy. It's Him. It's Jesus. This is what He's done for me. I want to share that with you. So you want people to be attracted to you in the sense of the joy and peace that radiates from within you because of your virtue, right? And the outside beauty is a bonus, really. Passive aggressiveness, I think it depends on your personality, but I'd say women are probably, and men a bit, are probably more this way. I know for me, I like to be honest. Anyone who's in my circle of friends, I try to be direct and honest. I try to always be loving, but I try to say what I really think. If I'm upset or hurt, I'll say I felt hurt by that. Or instead of, the opposite is no, I'm fine. You have hatred actually in your heart, and it's a lie. And actually, passive aggressiveness is aggressive. It's very aggressive if you're trying to hold power, or you're doing things to someone purposely to hurt them, or to withhold, or to have power over somebody. That's really, really sinful. And it's hard not to be angry about that. I get really angry when I see people doing that to me or to other people. I do. I just do. I'm a very passionate person. But I'm starting to learn that I give it to the Lord, He's going to do it. And I tried to give over my power because I just get so upset. And Satan loves it because then he's like, I ruined my day. I probably ruined other people's day. But if I catch it and be like, I trust in you, Jesus. Jesus, I trust in you. And He's going to move. If He wants something to happen, He's going to do it. And so, really, me being angry, you're allowed to feel anger. I don't deny that what I feel, but what I do with it, I'm trying to turn it over to Him rather than take it into my own hands. That doesn't mean there's not a time to speak or be frustrated or share that you're angry, but I think the way we do it can be virtuous or sinful, and that's important, right? So here's just some ideas to the thing that you can take or leave of things that I've brainstormed, the things that worked for me, and also that might work for you. I have prayed for people that, if I struggle with any of those things, comparison, jealousy, insecurity, body image, you pray for people if you're specifically upset with someone's causing you pain, or even just making sure that you're surrendering your feelings, trying to catch your feelings quickly. If you're feeling jealousy, if you are going to gossip or you're comparing yourself, is tell yourself the truth. Who does God say that you are? And I had a really good friend tell me before to make a list of all the lies that you believe about yourself. I did this in adoration once. And because oftentimes we're feeling this way because we're so insecure and broken within ourselves. It has nothing to do with that other person. It's about you and me. So making a list, if you can go to adoration, of all the lies that you believed. I'm not enough. I'm ugly. I hate my stomach. Whatever. You struggle with the lies of not going to be loved, whatever it is. Then what does God say? So take the lie, I'm not enough, and grab the Bible and tell the truth. What does God say? And you can Google scripture verses around all of this. And then whatever one resonates with you, write it down. So when you're feeling unlovable, keep it in a book, spiritual book that you're reading, or in the Bible. And eventually it will go from your head to your heart and it will be healing for you. But try not to continue to repeat the lie and cooperate with the voice of the devil. So yeah, maybe make a list of all the lies, and then what are the truths that you could combat that with? And I truly believe with your effort and prayers for healing, and with bringing the Lord into it, you will find that that will get easier and easier as time goes on. And then that eventually you could be completely healed of. When I do go to confession, it's not like every time I have a bad thought or I feel insecure that you're running to the confessional, but I make a note of these things, a mental note. And when I prepare my confessions, which I actually do write down, just bringing those things up, I'm still struggling with this. And I really have found in this last probably 7 months, I think I've shared this before, because I'm not working full time, I can go to adoration very regularly now. It's been such a game changer. If you're able to go, I can't say it enough. Obviously, daily mass is the most important, but if you can go to adoration and sit with him, bring these things, it's just a life-changing experience. So adoration and acts of service. I think if you're struggling with insecurity, comparison, jealousy, we can get consumed with ourselves. So acts of service gets us outside of ourselves. So, okay, I don't want to focus on myself, so I'm going to go bless other people. So maybe it's volunteering at your church. Maybe you do something there to help clean the church, or you help a friend move or organize their house or whatever it is. Try to do something to get the focus off of you and do something for someone else. And it does help. Try to be a blessing to others when you're struggling. I think it's very, very important. And the other thing is that you actually might need a counselor. You might need to get some counseling from someone, preferably a good Catholic counselor that can guide you. We all have different wounds, but if there's some wounds that are causing you to struggle to live a virtuous life, God might need someone to help you with that. It might not be enough just to pray through it, which is keep doing that, but you might need to bring someone into it to help you heal. For example, if a parent told you you're ugly your whole life or you're nothing your whole life, and that's been your identity for 30 years or 40 years, this is a horrific example. I don't know that you telling yourself, I'm enough, when the Lord says I'm good, that you probably need to work through some layers of pain here with someone who is trusted to help you with that process of believing truth and going through all of the lies that were told to you. So just want to throw that out there to keep that as an open option. I think it's really important. Just having a daily prayer life. For a long time now, I've been praying the daily rosary, and now I'm adding the chaplet, and I go to daily mass as often as I could. But the personal prayer time, because I was always so busy, not all of you are going to have that time. But if you can, like obviously do a holy hour. Do it. Even just staying 15 to 30 minutes after the mass, if you're able, bring your journal and don't just jump up as soon as the priest walks down the aisle and pop out the door, which is what I've done. I was a box ticker and I refer to myself that a lot because I was very sincere when I was there. I loved the Lord and I was praying. I was like, hey, oh, good. Went to daily mass, got my rosary in today. But having that personal relationship and sitting with him and letting him love me, talking to him, telling him about my hard times, I've gotten so much closer to him. And I've allowed him in, and it's been like such a gift. I have so far to go, as we all do. But one thing I want to just say, and you might have heard this before, but from Saint Teresa of Avila, is she said that if I had a white t-shirt on and I was looking in the mirror from the other side of the room, it would look totally white. But maybe earlier I splashed a few little coffee stains on there because I love my coffee. And then as I got closer to the mirror, as you get closer and closer, you start to see how dirty your t-shirt actually is. And she says that about the spiritual life, that sometimes don't be discouraged. When we become closer to the Lord, you start to see more of your imperfections and you could feel so much further away, but you actually are getting closer. Not that I'm saying that's where I am, but don't be discouraged. But he's also starting to fine-tune and he meets us where we are. And as we get closer and closer and he wants to heal us and we're trying to work on our lack of virtue, he'll start to refine those areas so you can start to see. And that's not to humiliate, that's to humble us and to show us love by so that he can correct us, holy correction, so that we get healing and that we grow in that area. So don't be discouraged if you're really following the Lord, you're getting close to him and you're feeling this more. All the saints feel that way. So you're in good company. You know what I mean? Don't give up. Don't be discouraged. Don't be alarmed by your weakness. That's really pride at the end of the day, which I've had too and still struggle with in my own ways, right? Where it's, oh, I'm such a mess. You know, it's, well, yeah, who did you think you were anyway? Without God, we are nothing and we are such sinners in need. So Of course we need him. Do we think that we can do things on our own without his strength? So when we fail, why are we surprised by that? I don't know. I think it was maybe St. Charles of Lisieux, I don't know, would say, why are you surprised when you fall? Of course you're going to fall. But all the more need to have our Savior pick us up. He's like an elevator that can lift us up quickly. So I'm going to leave it there. I hope that was helpful. I can move around a lot. I realize that. I don't know. I'd like to promise that would get better, but I'm just myself. So I'm going to say it may not. But ask for the intercession of your favorite saint, especially the Blessed Mother, to help us as women to grow in virtue. I'll pray that for you. I do pray for you every day at Mass and for all the people who listen. And please pray for me too. I struggled right alongside of you with all of these things in different ways, and especially different parts of my life. And God has done a lot of healing in certain areas, and I still have a long way to go. I'm with you on the journey 100%. But in a special way, the Blessed Mother, I just want to really encourage you to get close to her. So I think we'll end with a Hail Mary, ask for healing. I think that would be a good way to end. So thank you for joining me today. Let's pray together. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Sister Claire, pray for us. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen. Okay, God bless you. Until next time, we'll be in touch. I have a few people I'd like to interview. I like to share with you, but ideally, I want other people to bless you by their stories and the way God's worked in their lives. So that's my hope. And anyways, till next time, God bless you and have a great day.